Amen. Praise God. Well, I want to get into the Word for a little bit before we leave tonight. Psalm 121. And I'm thankful for God's Word. I'm glad that it's still true, still pure and preserved to every generation, including this one. And I just want to give something, hopefully that'll be an encouragement tonight. Psalm 121 says this, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Lord, we thank you so much for your word tonight. We thank you for its truth. Lord, you're a good God. And Lord, I pray that as we get into your word tonight, you would open up our hearts and our minds tonight, Lord, to what you have for us. And Lord, that your work, you said it would not, your word would not return void. And Lord, I know it'll do the work in our hearts. Lord, help me to preach tonight. Help us to hear what you have for us today and to respond. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen.
Amen.
I will lift up mine eyes from the hills, from whence cometh my help. And as I just hear that verse and am reading it aloud, I can just hear Sister Jean. She's been gone a couple years now, but I remember she loved reciting this verse from memory. And this is one of those psalms. It says a lot of Bibles, it'll say a song of degrees or a song of ascent. It may say that as the pilgrims were traveling to Jerusalem. This is one of those psalms that they would recite as they were going, the Jews that were heading back to Jerusalem to worship. So that pilgrim there coming towards Jerusalem would start to see the mountains around Jerusalem and the mountain that it's on and those hills and mountains around it. So they weren't yet there, but they could lift up their eyes and they could see, I'm not there yet, but I can see it in the distance. Amen. I can see that Jerusalem, the place I want to be. And here's the thing. They weren't yet in the city. They hadn't yet come into the gates, but they knew that they were already protected by the Lord, even though they weren't even there. I tell you what, isn't that a blessing that we don't have to be inside the city yet and still have blessings and protection from God? We're just strangers and pilgrims on this earth. We're living in this world temporarily. I love Hebrews 11. That's one of my favorite chapters of the Bible. And in verse 16 it says, but now they desire a better country, a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Aren't you glad that we're not heading to Jerusalem on a pilgrimage right now? But I'll tell you what, we're a stranger in this land today. We are just on a pilgrimage in this world, living in tents and moving around, headed to a better place. We desire a better country. I want to go to a place not made by men's hands, the Bible says, but made by God's hand. And I want to go to a place not where we elect a leader or a king, but where Jesus Christ will be the king sitting on the throne. I can't wait for that day. And guess what? You and I have not made it to that city yet. I don't care. Some people try to twist the book of Revelation and to make it somehow have already occurred. I don't know how they do that without just ruining the whole thing. But I'll tell you what, the Lord's not on the throne in Jerusalem yet, but I can almost see the city, can't you? We're almost there, praise God. John saw that new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven as prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And he saw it one day, and I believe we will see it one day. Even though we're not there, I can see the hilltops. Can't you? I can see the signs of the coming of the Lord in the distance. And although we haven't made it to heaven, verse 2, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. I'm thankful for the first responders we have. I'm thankful for the sheriff, the police, the EMS, the firefighters. Very thankful for the military that protects us, that a lot of times sacrifices everything to keep us safe. But I'll tell you what, even though they, each of those groups may help us from time to time, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He is the one that is protecting us. And aren't you glad the same God that's protecting us is the same God that made this earth, that made the heavens, and He has not just made it, but He's sustaining it. When I see how big this is and how big this universe is and how small I am, it makes it a little easier for me to trust a God that made this. Some of these heathens, they've made their own gods and everything else. And back in those days, sometimes they would put their idol or their temple on a hill, right? They would look towards the idol on the hill, and that's where their help would come from. But our help does not come from a hill like that. It comes from the Lord. And not only with those idols, but you know, those military leaders, they would want the high ground, right? They are much better to fight from the high ground. I'm here to tell you, we've got the highest ground that we're standing on. We are standing on the Word of God. We're standing on the church, that rock that, remember, He said, I'll build my church on that that testimony there of Peter, of Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful that we're a pilgrim. We're looking beyond the hills toward our Lord today. Amen. Verse 3, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. This world, I don't know if you figured it out, is so unstable. Right? They are changing their minds about everything. And it's day by day now. They can't even get it right. Whether it's what they believe in or what people are in power, that changes all the time. They're so wishy-washy on relationships and everything else. Unfortunately, our health changes a lot. You know, it goes from good to bad and bad to worse. The laws change. Everything's constantly changing. And I don't know about you, sometimes it feels like it's pulling us in different directions. Amen? It feels like we're getting yanked in different directions by the changes of this world. But aren't you glad we've got a firm foundation today? Aren't you glad that we can stand on something that does not change? Now, men will rewrite this because they don't like parts of it, but I'm glad we have the truth today. Amen. We can stand on the solid ground because the Bible doesn't change and our God doesn't change. We've got a firm foundation. We can anchor to it. The end of verse 3 says that He that keepeth thee will not slumber. And you think about something. When you go to sleep, you realize what happens? You are completely trusting in everything around you, right? You're putting your trust in your house. The doors are locked. You know, maybe the security system or anything else. Maybe your spouse that you have made a little mad. You're trusting that this isn't going to be the night. You know, they're going to. Anyway, but you're trusting everything, right? You're putting your trust in them. And you know, in the military, what do? They'll put a watch out, won't they? They'll make sure that every part of the night, while the one big group is sleeping, that others are keeping watch. You know, just in case the enemy comes, they can sound the alarm and be ready. Aren't you glad our God never slumbers? He never sleeps. He never. He doesn't need someone to stand in for Him while He's asleep. He's always awake. And that's why David knew what being on the run was. And when he was on the run from his son Absalom, Psalm 3:5 says, I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. You realize David could not give himself peace. David could not in and of himself give himself security. He was on the run, but he could look to a God that he loved, and he knew that that God would take care of him. He had made promises to David, and David just merely trusted in the promises God had given him. And said, you know what? He's going to watch over me. He's going to protect me. And he could get restful sleep. And he couldn't have done that if he had one eye open. I think a lot of people are trying to, yeah, I trust the Lord with one eye, but then in the other eye, I'm keeping my eye out, right? We just need to trust God today. He's the only place you can get true peace. It's from the Lord, the Prince of Peace. Look at verse 4. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. And here's the thing. If you need any better proof that the Lord doesn't go to sleep, look at the nation of Israel.
Yeah.
Right? That's what he's saying right there. Look at it. If the Lord ever moved his hedge of protection, if the Lord ever stopped protecting Israel, if you don't know this, to give you a little geography lesson, every country around Israel hates them. And in fact, if there was one in the water, they would hate him too. Amen? They want to destroy Israel at all times. If God ever even pulled back the hedge for a second, it would be leveled. But he hasn't. He hasn't closed his eyes on Israel. He hasn't looked the other way. He hasn't stopped protecting them. In fact, there's the opposite. There's so many instances since it became a nation. And in our Bible before then, you see that they were miraculously helped. They were outnumbered. Everything else, whether you go into the modern day wars or into the Bible, either way, it's just as miraculous. God helped them. God protected them. And that's why they're still here today. He neither slumbered or sleep. We can look at Israel and you can remind yourself, praise God, he's not slumbered and sleeping on me and you either. Amen. Praise God for that. You know, Elijah, when he was on Mount Carmel, remember it was that battle between him and the prophets of Baal? You know, the God that answers by fire, remember that story? Well, he let them go first, remember? And they were all crying and screaming and everything else. And about noontime, 1 Kings 18:27, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he's on a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. He was mocking them because their God wasn't real. I'm glad our God is real, aren't you? I'm glad we can call on his name. I don't always get the answer that I want, but I get an answer from the Lord. Amen. He's there. Said it many times. I need a God that's bigger than me. A God that's smarter than me, a God that has more resources than me, stronger than me, and everything else. I need a bigger God than I am, and praise God, he is bigger. You know, some people have a God that's smaller than they are, you know, because they made it with their own hands. And when it gets dusty, they have to clean it off. And when they want to move it, they pick it up and move it. Aren't you glad that I serve a God that made me? I didn't make myself. I didn't make him. I don't clean him off. He cleaned me off. Amen. I don't move him around. He moves me around. Praise God. That's the God we have. That's the difference. He wakes me up and he blesses me each day. Verse 5, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Verse 5 says, the Lord is thy keeper. And if you didn't notice in verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, he talks about being a keeper over and over again. A keeper is one who guards, one who protects, or puts a hedge around something. And aren't you glad that he's our keeper? Amen. He's our protector. And those pilgrims that were headed towards Jerusalem, he was keeping them too. Amen. He was watching over them. And in fact, it talks about the sun, him being a shade for the sun. And that doesn't seem like a good thing right now. We need all the sun we can get right now. But if you're in the desert in the heat, you need the shade. And he said, I'll be the shade for you. Amen. I'll protect you. I'll be the oasis out in the desert. Whether it's the sun by day or the moon by night, we have nothing to fear today. The Lord's keeping us from our enemies. You know what's sad? As I remember when I was younger, we used to be, really, you were afraid of what could happen in the dark, right? You know, you go out and things like that. You wouldn't go to certain places in the dark. Do you realize it's become so bad that fear is in broad daylight too? There's places we wouldn't even go in broad daylight. Isn't that sad? That's how our world has gotten. But God said, I don't care if the sun's out or the moon's out. I'll protect you either way. I'll guard you. I'll keep you either way. We have to be careful, but I'm glad the Lord is our keeper.
Amen.
Look at verse 7. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Not only is our Lord our keeper, he is our preserver, right? And I'm glad it doesn't say the Lord may preserve thee or he may preserve thy soul. It says he shall preserve thee and he shall preserve thy. That is a guarantee. That's a promise. That's not something that may or may not happen. He said he will do that. We are surrounded by wickedness, amen? We're surrounded by principalities and powers of the air, evil all over the place. But aren't you glad when he promises to preserve us? We know because there is a greater than he. There's a greater than the enemy. The devil one day, he's getting allowed to do all sorts of things. He's running rampant in this world. But one day, an angel's going to go lock him up and throw him in the pit. It's not that the Lord's got to wrestle him down. He'll just send an angel to do it. There's a greater power that's keeping us. Amen. The devil wants us to live in fear, doesn't he?
He does.
And if he could steal our salvation, he would, but he can't. Right? If he could take away eternal life, he would, but he can't. Amen. We have a Lord that can keep, preserve, and he can keep all the promises that he's made as well. Devil wants us to live in fear, but the psalmist was able to find peace and comfort in the Lord. You know, we need to be able to do the same thing. Amen. We need to trust him. I like the book of Jude. It's a short book, and it ends with this, verses 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. And what it's saying there is he is able to keep you from falling. We've already talked about that. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. I tell you what, the more I think about that statement right now, the more it blesses me, because when I look at myself, I don't see faultless. I don't see perfection. I see someone that, I said it this morning, I've been saved about 31 years now, and I look back and I figure I should be closer to God than I am today. You would think in 31 years I'd be closer to God, but I don't have the Bible to blame. I don't have the Holy Spirit to blame. I just have myself to blame. Amen? But aren't you glad that even when I walk into glory, I'm not looking at myself. I'm not going to have a record of what I've done. I am going to see Jesus, and I'm going to be assured that my salvation is secure in what he did. Oh, and by the way, he's the one that's the judge anyway. So I'm standing before him, and he's going to say, this is one of mine. Praise God. That's all we need. Amen? He's going to present us faultless. We aren't faultless, but that's the way he's going to present us, as faultless, because our sins are forgiven. Why? Because not only do I already know him, but he already knows me. Amen. That's the most important. We have a relationship. Amen. He saved my soul. I already said, as a 9-year-old boy, and he's kept me, and I say thank God for that. What a wonderful promise from our Lord. He can keep us steady if we trust in him. He can keep us going. If we trust in his word and his precious promises, he'll be there. But here's the thing. The psalm starts with a pilgrim traveling to Jerusalem, right? That's how we started. He saw the hills in the distance. He was trusting the Lord for safety. And here's the thing. If that was the only application, we'd be in trouble, wouldn't it? We're not making pilgrimages to Jerusalem, right? We're not doing that today. I mean, you could, but that's not something we could use over and over again. But I'm so glad for the last verse. Look at what it says, verse 8. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. He's not just keeping the pilgrims that head to Jerusalem, right? He's not just keeping Israel. He's not just keeping those of us that are getting ready to go on a mission trip to Honduras. But he says he shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in. That tells me in everyday life, Brother Forrest, everything, no matter what we are doing, he says, I will keep you. I'll preserve you. I'll watch over you. I'll help you. I'll hear your cries. I will be with you always. And I say thank God for that. Even in the everyday life. Tomorrow I've got a Lord willing, if things continue, I'll be working tomorrow during the day, and he'll be with me during work, won't he? He'll be watching over us no matter what we do as we travel and different things. Aren't you glad he can preserve us in our everyday life? I can't be there for you all the time. Even spouses, we can't always be there together all the time. Aren't you glad our Lord can be with us no matter all the time, no matter what we're doing? Praise God. And not just for sometimes, but what's he say? From this time forth and even forevermore.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I am glad that God's promises aren't temporary, aren't you? You know, we make temporary promises down here. We use different software at work, and I'm negotiating with one of the vendors, and we're looking at either a one-year extension or a three-year extension. I'm glad I don't have to go to the Lord every couple of years and renegotiate our contract and our price and everything else. He paid the price. I like the sign down there, one faith, one Lord, one baptism. He took care of all of it for eternity. Amen. I don't have to re-up in this thing. We don't have to get rebaptized. I don't need to get resaved. I'm glad that it's good from now for eternity, because I am trusting in His promise for eternal life forever. Amen. He says, I'll be with you. That means even when we close our eyes in death, the Lord will still keep and preserve us even after this life. Amen. We're His. He's ours.
Yes.
He loves us. He cared about us. Right now, He went away to prepare a place for us. He's been gone quite a long time. What do you think it's going to look like? Amen. He's excited. He can already see the day that we're together.
Yes.
And I know that times get tough down here. I know we go through trials and troubles down here. But church, we're almost done. I believe that. Now, that's a comforting thing, but also it should give us an urgency. That if we're almost done, as we get in that last leg of the race, we need to keep going strong and tell people about the Lord. And sometimes we get really burdened down and think, man, I've got to witness to everybody in this whole area. No, just start by one at a time. One at a time. If each of us will just witness and pray for and get a burden for one lost, one backslider, it will start making differences around here. And Lord, we can make it. Why? Because our keeper, our preserver, Jesus Christ, He's there. He's helping us. And if you need to look anywhere, just look up. Look toward Him. Look at His word, and we can make it. I'm going to ask everyone to stand.
If you could, just play a song.
Sure. Amen. So thankful for another chance to worship together.
Yes.
And I don't know what you need tonight, and I don't need to know what you need, but just get another chance to pray to the Lord.
Amen.
You know what He wants from us? I haven't figured a whole lot out, but I figured this out. He just wants us to be honest with Him.
Yeah, that's right.
Because He already knows our heart.
Amen.
He knows your heart. He knows your mind. He knows what you're struggling with. He knows what you're questioning right now. He knows the excuses you've got. He knows all those things. So just be honest with Him and ask for Him to help you.
Amen.
Come to Him. Like we talked about this morning, if you got to repent of something, repent. He's there. He wants to hear from you today. As Forrest sings. Will you come?